You can meet and hear 12-time All-American swimmer Riley Gaines, journalist Mark and Molly Hemingway, Aaron Wren of the American Conservative, Chris Roseborough of Fighting for the Faith, and Pastor Brian Wolfmiller of Has American Christianity Failed at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. The premier conference for Christian laity is Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org.
Previous generations, by and large, got it right, that it's about family and marriage over career and money.
Which once again just teaches us one of the major laws of these podcasts. Politics is real. Religion, religious liberty, even the First Amendment, not so real.
Anytime the screen is on, talk time between parent and child goes down by 85%. Turn off your screens. Put your phones down. The iPad is not a pacifier.
On earth as it is in heaven, we pray that every time we pray the Lord's Prayer. And I think Jesus gave us that prayer to recognize that He is the link between heaven and earth. And wherever He is, those two things are joined together.
This is John in Michigan. And as a Lutheran high school teacher, I love listening to and using Issues Etc. in my classroom.
A lot has changed in the abortion debate in the United States. I remember a time when abortion was essentially presented as a necessary evil. Remember, safe, legal, but rare? A necessary evil, but women had to have access to abortion. Now, abortion advocates have to portray it as a positive good, shout their abortion, and say it saved their lives or their careers or their marriages or their relationships. And at the very least, they have to say it was a trivial matter that didn't affect their life one way or the other. Is the truth anywhere near that? Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live on this Tuesday afternoon, the 19th of March. We're going to talk about abortion regret with Teresa Bonapartis. Then a little bit later, Pastor Tom Baker joins us. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. We'll be looking forward to Sunday morning according to the three-year lectionary, Palm Sunday, Sunday of the Passion, with Pastor Sean Denzer, Director of Worship for the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Teresa Bonapartis is Director of Lumina, a post-abortion program offering hope and healing to those suffering after abortion. And she's author of a column for The Federalist titled 50 Years Later, I Still Anguish Over My Abortion. Teresa, welcome back.
Hi, how are you? Thank you.
Tell us about your recent encounter that you had with a pro-abortion protester outside of an abortion clinic.
Sure. So we go to the Planned Parenthood clinic in New York City every month, and we have quite a display. They're called New York City for Abortion Rights, and they come to counter protest. And when I'm out there, we stand out there praying, but I hold a sign that says, I had an abortion. Life does not go back to normal. Save your baby and yourself. And then there's an 800 number there for help for the women. And to say it perturbs the pro-abortion people that come is an understatement. So I have a lot of them coming up to me a lot of times, but there's this one person in particular who just comes up to me all the time. And like in response to my sign, she said something to me like how her life went back to normal after her abortion. And they'll say things to me like, oh, you should see a psychiatrist, and I don't respond. We just stay there and pray. But the thing that strikes me is that here we are on Saturday morning in front of an abortion clinic, and just like I said in the article, there's nothing normal about spending your Saturday mornings in front of an abortion clinic. So obviously, her life didn't go back to normal, and neither did mine. It's just it's manifested in different ways for both of us, right?
What were the circumstances of your abortion 50 years ago?
So I was a teenager, and I became pregnant, and I never wanted to have an abortion, but I delayed telling my family because I knew that it was going to be a problem. But I actually am Catholic. I grew up in a Catholic family, so I really didn't think that abortion was going to be an issue at all. But unfortunately, that it wasn't the case. I told my parents, and my father ended up kicking me out of the house and telling me that I he was going to forget I was his daughter and that I should forget that I was his daughter. And I stayed with a friend for a while, and he ended up having my sister call me and tell me that he wanted me to get an abortion, and I kept saying no. And this went on for quite a while. Day by day, she would call me back and say, well, what are you going to do? You have no job, you have no money, you have no place to live. Until finally, they say that you make a choice. Well, I caved in because I felt like I had no choice because I had no place to live. By that time, I'd started fighting with the father, the baby, and told him to leave me alone. So I was really put in a position, you know, like Dave Reardon, who does post-abortion research. He has a line in one of his books that talks about how women are socially aborted before they ever step foot into an abortion clinic. And that's definitely resounded with me because that's exactly the way that I felt. I felt like I didn't make a choice. I had the abortion because I felt like I had no choice.
How many women are coerced into having an abortion still today?
Well, I think that there's still a lot of women that are coerced, maybe not in the same way that I was, but sometimes it's the boyfriend that'll pressure them, sometimes it's the husband, parents, maybe it's the situation that they're living in, or maybe it won't be blatant coercion, but, you know, just feeling pressure because of different circumstances in their life. I don't think there's very many women that joyfully go into an abortion clinic. And what happens, though, is that for whatever reason that they do it, then they start justifying and rationalizing. And to be quite frank, if you don't have God in your life, it's a horrific thing to look at. And so you can't even start beginning to deal with your abortion until you have some kind of a relationship. And otherwise, it's just too hard to look at. So you rationalize and you justify. And you gleefully celebrate like we're seeing so much of right now, right? I mean, how much of that do we see, right? That's going on, people gleefully celebrating abortion like it's some big wonderful thing instead of the reality of what it actually is.
So what does abortion do to the lives of women, Teresa?
Well, it depends on the women. Obviously, like I said, you have, I believe that when I look at the women on the pro-abortion side, I often say to myself, what happened in their life to make them like this, to make them so cold-hearted and so determined to keep justifying their abortion? So it manifests itself different ways for different people. As a matter of fact, in response to this article that we're talking about, I got an email from a woman who just said that she was an older adult. It sounded like she was old, like really old. And she talked about having an abortion as a teenager and how when she read this article, it gave her comfort because now she knew she wasn't alone. So here's somebody that for decades has been sitting in silent suffering, and that happens very often. It can manifest itself in so many different ways, promiscuity, addictions, mental health issues. It comes out different ways for different people, depression. I know I suffered from anxiety and depression for years after my abortion because it bothered me. It always bothered me. And I actually had a saline abortion, so I actually saw my son. It was terrible. I hated myself after that. But every place I went for help, everybody told me, forget about it. It's in your past. That isn't what's bothering you. It's something else. Like, you're not allowed to have it bother you. And there's still so many women out there suffering in silence because they've had an abortion. Because if you listen to our media, that's been something that's really frustrating lately, because you'll turn on the media and you'll hear that since Dobbs, you'll hear women are suffering mentally because they're not able to get abortions. Or like there was that whole program on about couples that had adverse diagnosis abortions, which it's terrible if you get an adverse diagnosis, but they don't talk about the other side of it. They don't talk about, like, you're allowed to have mental health problems if you can't get an abortion, but they won't acknowledge that there's millions of women suffering because they did get abortions. Or the same thing with the adverse diagnosis. They don't talk about the people that aborted their baby and it turned out that maybe there was nothing wrong. Or I have somebody, a couple that I work with, when they saw their baby that they aborted because of an adverse diagnosis, after she aborted the baby, she said she looked at the baby and she said, it's only a baby. You know what I mean? Like, they make it sound so impossible for women. So different women, it just manifests itself in different ways, and they suffer in different in ways. And I think one of the things right now that we really have to look at is the fact that chemical abortions are on the rise. I just saw something CNN put out today that said since 2020, there's been a 10% jump in abortions. So even though people say that Dobbs decreased abortions, on a whole, it didn't because of the chemical abortions. And what's happening with the chemical abortions is, you know, these women are being told, take these pills, you could have an abortion in the safety and comfort of your home. And in the meantime, they're having the abortions and they're seeing their babies, and it's causing tons of trauma. Like, a lot of crisis pregnancy centers are getting phone calls from these women who are just, like, beyond the beyond because they're in the middle of the abortion or they see their baby after they've taken these pills. So I think we're going to see more and more of that, more and more trauma with women who are experiencing chemical abortions or actually seeing their babies after.
Teresa Bonapartis is our guest. We're talking about abortion regret. On the other side of the break, what does she think when she hears abortion described as reproductive choice or women's health care? Stay tuned. Love. You can call it what you like. I call it life. I call it life. I prayed for things no
Listen to the best of the church's music for the season of Lent at LutheranPublicRadio.org. Sacred music for the season of Lent, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
Join Lutherans for Life at the For Such a Time as This Lutheran Adoption Conference, April 10th and 11th in Houston, Texas. Enjoy the testimony and talents of Dove Award-winning musician and adoptee Mark Schultz. Discover expert information and exciting opportunities, and experience the fellowship and celebration. The 2024 Lutheran Adoption Conference, April 10th and 11th in Houston. Find out more and register at lutheransforlife.org/conferences.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
This is Pastor Matthew Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. The LCMS operates the second largest parochial school system in the United States. What can you expect from a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school? There's one race, the human race. And Jesus died for the sins of every man, woman, and child from every land and every nation. Life begins at conception. All life is precious from womb to tomb. And every student, parent, and teacher is created in the very image of God. There's right and wrong, and we know which is which from the Ten Commandments. There are only two sexes, male and female, He created them. Marriage is the lifelong union of one man and one woman. There's such a thing as objective, absolute truth, and it's found in the person and work of Jesus Christ and His Word. To find a Lutheran Church Missouri Synod school near you, visit lcms.org/schools.
Welcome back to Issues, Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Teresa Bonapartis is our guest. We're talking about abortion regret. She's author of a column for The Federalist titled, 50 Years Later, I Still Anguish Over My Abortion. Teresa, what do you think when you hear of abortion described as reproductive choice for women's health care?
Yeah, it's ridiculous. It's not reproductive health, first of all. It's destroying a life inside of you. And it's just that nothing is more protected by abortion than abortion. So they use all this language and whatever to defect from what it really is, because we know that it's not those things. You know, it's not women's health care. It has nothing to do with health care. It's the destruction of an unborn baby. But that's what they do all the time. They just masquerade around it so that people don't really have to think about what abortion is. But I think we really do have to start thinking about what it is. People need to start looking at that. It's terrible, the stuff that's going on.
You say that the lies about abortion deaden the hearts of those who should be loving their children the most. What do you mean by that?
Yeah, because as a woman and as a mother, it's a sacred relationship, mother and child. There's no question about it. You nurture your children, you raise your children, you love your children. It's not natural for us to take the lives of our children, and it's going to do something to you. I don't care who you are. I had a woman 93 years old who got in touch with me. 93. She had her abortions when she was young, and all those years it was bothering her. So you could deny it and all those things, but sooner or later, it's a reality that it deadens your heart, because it's so against our heart and everything that we are as women and mothers. And I really believe that. I believe that abortion is the ultimate failure of love. I honestly totally believe that you have to totally fail in love to be able to get an abortion. And you could say you love your child, and it's not that you don't. I mean, I feel like I love my son that I aborted. It's not. But the actions that I took in this world were a total failure of that love. And so it deadens hearts, because that's the only way that you could live with it.
Does that help explain the women that you encounter on the weekends there at that abortion clinic in New York City? The hardness of heart there.
Right. That's exactly what it is. It's a total hardness of heart. I mean, who's going to dance around and say, I had three abortions, and if I get pregnant again tonight, I'll have another one? Do you know what I mean? Like, you have to be dead to be able to feel like that. They hold the fact that it doesn't bother them up like it's a great accomplishment or something wonderful. And I always say, I'm glad mine bothered me. I never want to be somebody who could do something like that and not have it bother me. Because you have to be dead in your heart for it to not to bother you.
How do we expose the truth about abortion in face of all the lies that are being told?
Just keep speaking the truth. I think that we have to get out there more speaking the truth and make people look at the truth. I mean, when you think about it, one of the things that strikes me all the time is like where a lot of these clinics are, especially here in New York, they could be on main roads and everything else, and everybody else passes these places every single day, and nobody thinks about what's going on inside of them. Nobody even considers what's going. They just go about their business and they pass it every day. We need to start bringing the truth out into the open. And it is very difficult because of the way that the media is. They don't want to give us a voice. But in spite of that, we just need to keep talking and keep saying it and keep showing it. Even like now, this whole thing with Biden wanting to have abortion for all 9 months and everything. People need to look like this is what you're saying is okay. And especially the younger people, because I know like some that I speak to, they don't really know, believe it or not. They're so brainwashed and they've been told all these things all this time. I had a conversation with someone and she kept on saying she thinks it's okay if somebody wants to have an abortion, it's up to them. And I kept saying to her, well, you think it's okay to kill a baby then? And she would just look at me and then she'd start talking, and I kept bringing it back to, but that this is what abortion is. And at the end of the conversation, she looked at me and she said, I never even thought of it like that. So they so detached the baby from reproductive rights or women's health care because they don't want anybody to think about that baby. So I think that we have to point to the baby, but we also have to point to the women and how many people, not just women, the men that it hurts, the siblings. We're doing a retreat in a couple of weeks. We've been doing it for 12 years now for siblings of aborted babies, people who know that their parents have aborted, a brother or sister that are suffering greatly, who feel like, what are their lives worth, and would their name be the same, and all the different things that come up for them because they know of a sibling that's been aborted and the suffering that it's brought them. It's amazing. And I think that we need to speak to these people that are out there suffering in silence, because the more you speak to them and the more you get them healed, the more they're going to speak to people and the truth is going to get out there. And that's what we need to do, is keep speaking the truth in love, right? And bring them to healing, to God and into healing, so that they speak the truth in love and more people are reached and more people get healed.
Why, then, have you devoted the last 30 years of your life to helping women suffering from the trauma of abortion?
Just for that reason, because I know what this suffering is like, and I know that there's such a denial out there and that people are suffering in silence, and you want them to get healed. You want them to come to the love of God. You want them to know that healing is possible and that they could have full, productive lives again. Yeah, that's why, just to help to get them to healing so that they can have their lives whole again. Because I just did a retreat this past weekend, and somebody was just saying how for years she felt like she was crazy and alone because nobody would acknowledge her feelings. And so just to legitimize the feelings that these people are having, then they're not crazy and they're not alone, and that healing is possible, that God restores you, and that you can heal from this trauma.
Teresa Bonapartis is director of Lumina, a post-abortion program offering hope and healing to those suffering after abortions. She is author of a column for The Federalist titled, 50 Years Later, I Still Anguish Over My Abortion. You'll find a link to this column and to Lumina at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Talk On Demand Archives. Teresa, thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
When we come back, Pastor Tom Baker joins us. He's host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. We'll be teaching a Sunday school lesson on Jesus teaching Nicodemus in John chapter 3. Stay tuned.
O God, O Lord of heaven and earth, I bind unto myself today. O little flock, fear not the foe. Hi, this is Pastor Will Whedon inviting you to join us for our hymn sing at the 2024 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This year's theme, Hymns for the Battle. Making the Case is Friday, July 12th and Saturday, July 13th at Concordia University, Chicago. Find out more at issuesetc.org or by calling 618-223-8385.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by purchasing a cell phone case from Crossway, crossweh.com/LPR. You'll find cell phone cases for Issues Etc., Lutheran Public Radio, The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, and Luther's Seal with the Reformation Solas. crossweh.com/LPR. A percentage of your purchase will support Issues Etc. crossweh.com/LPR.
Where Christianity meets culture, you're listening to Issues Etc.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Memoria Press is a worldwide leader in the publishing of classical Christian education. We have everything you need for students in kindergarten through 12th grade, and our materials can be used in any classroom setting to suit your needs. If you're interested in learning more, visit them at memoriapress.com and use the coupon code LPR24 to save $5 at checkout. Memoria Press, saving Western civilization one student at a time.